owned and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Continuing election coverage you won't find anywhere else, including results when the polls close on November 5th. I'm Lisa Hale. Count on us on air at 98.3 WISS, on the web WISS.FM, and always on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Over the last week, clerks around Wisconsin have been putting their election equipment to the test. It's a common practice. They've been doing it for years. But these days, they hope inviting the public to see it all for themselves helps prevent misinformation. Mike Moen reports.
According to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, all municipalities must conduct a public test of their electronic voting equipment within 10 days of each election. Algoma City Clerk Aaron Miller describes it as a pretty detailed run-through.
We will take the voting machine out of the vault, and we will go through the whole process of putting the cartridges in the places where they're supposed to go, adding the safety seals, recording the safety seals, and then putting the test ballots through the machine to ensure accuracy.
In a recent Gallup poll, 57% of Americans said they're confident votes for president this year will be accurately counted. However, partisan gaps have widened, with faith and accuracy waning among Republican respondents. In a battleground state like Wisconsin, Miller says these tests are important so administrators can show how consistent they are in overseeing elections. She says they're a good training opportunity, too.
I have my poll workers put a blank ballot through so they can see what happens, you know, with the machine. I have them put a ballot that somebody maybe happened to overvote in a certain selection, so they can see how the machine is going to react to that.
If something abnormal pops up during testing, state law requires local clerks to remedy the situation before voters can use that machine on election day. Administrators around the country have said they're relying on aging voting equipment, with calls to boost federal funding for that type of infrastructure. Miller says her team is lucky because their machines were recently upgraded. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Fox Valley weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunshine and a high near 55. Tonight, a few showers, lows around 43. Rain is likely on Sunday. It'll be windy with a high near 57. Showers and breezy Sunday night, a low of 51. More rain for Monday, highs near 66.
Currently 33 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Up, revolutionaries, hello. You've got the Rational Revolution. Oh my goodness. This is the last episode before the election. And as Tony Evers says, I am jazzed as hell because I think I've got the best cast of characters that we have. We have congressional candidate, my friend, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
Yeah. I'm just one of the two Kristens.
And that's exactly right, because of the other one.
The
other one is the former host of the show herself.
Whoop.
Someone who I knew when I was a very young child, and now she's all grown up.
And she's so real. Shapes have changed. Her hair color has changed.
It's Chris Alfheim. Oh my gosh. What a show, guys.
It's like coming home. I love the show. You know it.
Just the
cue in music made me happy.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Right? So
it's your baby.
It is my baby. I truly do. And I've enjoyed listening to your shows.
Thank you.
The guests you've had on, the conversations.
It's been wild.
Yeah.
It has been a wild, wild time.
And it's a perspective that people really need.
Absolutely.
People in this region want what you are talking about.
Well, because I mean, and I think this is what you guys both are as well. This is not about left versus right. This is about right versus wrong.
Yes.
And
it's the whole concept of having conversations as opposed to spouting opinions. Let's just have a conversation. Reduce the crazy, reduce the stress, and just talk about an issue, because there are points on both sides that we need to be hearing so that we can understand. And if we can do that, we move forward together.
And that's the one thing I'm consistently hearing on the doors.
Yep.
People are saying, I'm not here and I'm not there. I'm in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the middle, and I want to talk about the stuff that's going to make my life better and going to create a future for my kids.
That's right.
So the more conversations we can have, the more of that positive change we can make. And you're making it happen,
hey,
baby.
Well,
Mark
thank you. No, this has been, it's been so cool. And, you know, and I think there's excitement on both of your races and what happens next. Because we had Mark Pocan on, and he talked about, what was it, like 7 bills they've passed this session or something? Like 14.
Least productive Congress since the Civil War.
Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not great.
No.
That's not a good distinction. And now we have fair maps in Wisconsin.
Imagine if we had them on the congressional districts.
Holy,
also, what we would accomplish.
Yeah, my God.
Seriously.
When would that happen?
You know, it's such a big deal that we talk about this. And you know me, I've gone down the path of the lines for so long. But balance is where things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When our government is actually representative of who we are, we then must work together to move forward,
mm-hmm.
not to a perfect answer, but to a better answer than where we are today. And in Madison, that's why we have leaning so hard blue right now, because we must rebalance so we can start taking care of every kitchen table. Then the congressional district, and I know Dr. Lierley knows this better than I, we're still out of whack.
Very.
So there is work to be done on the gerrymandering. And if it's going on in Wisconsin, how many other states are doing it? 17?
What happened? How is that process on the federal side with that?
So for us here in Wisconsin, they actually brought up a case to the Supreme Court asking them to redraw the lines, and they declined to take it.
Perfect.
I suspect that they're going to bring it up again, probably in the next session.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think there was and correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a gerrymandering case that went to the Supreme Court that was rejected back to the states.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that Wisconsin is in a better position. Wink, wink, there's another Supreme Court issue.
Yeah, oh my gosh,
soon.
I know.
But the point is, if you push it to the state then, with proper representation, has the opportunity to fix it. Mm-hmm. But if there's 17 states across the country that are gerrymandered in congressional districts like Wisconsin, where we have 8 congressional districts, only 2 have truly the true ability to be fair and competitive. Mm-hmm. Imagine if that were actually 3.5 as an average, and that took place in 17 states. Mm-hmm. How does that change the balance in Washington, and what might we actually get done in Washington if we had balance?
Because the balance of the House is, it's 4 seats.
Yeah.
Right. There are 4 seats of the 435 seats that are out there.
Right.
So, I mean, even just with me flipping this district, which is what's going to happen
you
on
know
Tuesday.
You know you are. You know you are.
That, this could be the district that flips the balance of power and makes our Congress functional again.
Because I think what, you know, on that side of it, the reason, you know, because of the gerrymandering, people like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Lauren Boberts of the world, they have that power, even though they're in such a minority, because it's such a disproportionately skewed balance. It's not, it's out of balance.
Right. And these are people who don't want to work with other people. They want to take their ball and go home.
Yeah.
They're not trying to solve problems. No. They're just trying to push their own agenda.
Yeah, I mean, they're like a bull in a china shop. They're just trying to blow it all up.
Yes,
well, but there's no plan for after that. That's that's the issue. And again, gerrymandering, and I'm somebody that 5 years ago didn't know who gerrymander was. But complacent, comfortable people haven't really paid attention. But we're also the ones that are angry that things aren't actually going forward. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why.
Right, here's why.
Here's why. Yeah. So for those purple people out there, understanding purple people, there's an awful lot of purple shades. You know, again, lean red, lean blue, I don't care. That middle cut of people that is frustrated with politics, they're frustrated with people standing on the edges. Vote to rebalance. Vote to rebalance. And that in itself will start moving us forward again.
You talk about, you know, it's like doctor, like clear. Doosh. All right. Start over.
Crank it
Here
up.
Here we go.
Crank it up another
notch. I can do that for all of us.
Nice. I don't think I should.
Unless it's like the ones in like the churches that have like the 1, 2, 3
if
steps.
If I had to, I would follow those. I would follow the directions.
That's what they are.
Yes. I'm not afraid to be that person if need be.
That's what all the public, and just not to get sidetracked here and talk about AEDs, but all those automatic defibrillators that are in all of these public places.
Yeah.
Any one of us can use those. Here's your public service announcement right now. If anybody's having a heart attack, go just go grab that thing. It'll tell you exactly how to use it, and you can't mess it up, because if the person doesn't need to be defibrillated, it's not going to do it.
That's cool.
So don't be afraid.
So there goes trying it out.
I would be nervous.
There's a lot of anxiety attacks going on right now in Wisconsin. I know my wife is at home not wanting to listen to anything. The mute button is being used. Netflix is going hard right now because people are tired of it.
How is that on family, on a spouse? You know, how...
I had a young gal from Lawrence University interview me for her senior thesis the other day, and a number of other candidates. And they talked about women as candidates and what that feels like, and where's the biggest sacrifice. And I think Kristen would agree, the biggest sacrifice is family. The biggest sacrifice we have is that we are not home. We have our jobs, we have what we're supposed to be doing, and then we have these campaigns, and we aren't there. My wife said to me the other day, I look forward to not doing life alone.
Oh, wow.
Those are impactful words. And yet more and more women are getting involved in this. And why? Because we understand the sacrifice is necessary. We must show up.
Because you guys do it so much better than guys.
Well, I think the reality is...
There are a lot of guys who do great work.
This is not an anti-guy conversation.
No, I know.
But the real answer is there's so much work to be done.
Yeah.
And it takes more sacrifice in fair maps to... to run, to do the work, to raise the money. You are constantly working. You could take money out of politics. That'd be my magic
That'd
wand
be sweet.
Moment. But anyway, but the reality is that the women know what's at risk, and they are willing to sacrifice at home to make it happen. And that is a very, very honorable thing to do right now, because we know the fight has to take place and we're all working through it. But this morning I was given the reminder there are 5 days late. That's one hand. One hand.
It feels so good.
It does.
Well, and let's remember that representation matters.
Absolutely.
And right now in the Wisconsin State Legislature, only about a third of the representatives are women. And it is a record number for Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
It's harder for women to campaign. It's harder for women to raise money. It's harder for women because we have so many other things going on in our lives. We are the core of the care community in our lives.
That's right.
It's harder for us. And, you know, for me, running for Congress, do you know how many women have been elected in Wisconsin to go to Washington, D.C. and represent us. How many women has Wisconsin sent to Washington, D.C.?
Well, I know Tammy.
Two. Tammy and Gwen Moore.
Oh, yeah, Gwen Moore. That's right.
Gwen.
That's
right, Gwen.
I'll be the third and the first from Northeast Wisconsin.
Whoop, whoop. And it's all like within like the last few years.
They're
you know?
Both I mean, like, actively representing yeah, right, right
they're,
now.
They're still in. Mm-hmm. So it's not like this. We have a storied history.
We do
this.
Not.
Yeah. We don't have that.
Not
that's crazy.
Yet. That's what we're working on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got, yes, Chris Alfheim and Kristen Lyerly are here. We're kind of talking about, you know, how everything has been. And so what's the takeaways from the last, you know, months of doing this madness?
I'm having a blast. Yeah. I know. Chris's face is like, I don't know.
Chris is like, oh my God.
I love this work. I am beyond an extrovert. I know Chris is still dying.
Wow. You are a cheerleader. You are a cheerleader at heart.
It's been great.
I was a mascot in college.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You're bringing it home. Forever cheering.
No, but it's true. Like, I love getting out and talking to people. It's unusual for congressional candidates to go out and knock on doors.
Yeah,
but I'm doing it every day. I was collating literature down with my team. I'm calling people, having conversations, talking with people who otherwise I don't get to hear their perspectives.
Right. Yeah.
Yesterday, right across the street from where some signs, Democratic signs, were vandalized.
Yes,
I was talking with a voter right across the street, and we talked about abortion. She was a boy mom, just like me. We had found these similarities. We started from a place of trust, and I said, what is the thing that you're really thinking about with this election? What's the issue? And she knew I was an OBGYN doctor. She was looking at my literature. She said, you know, it's abortion. I don't think it belongs on a federal stage. I think it belongs in the states.
Yeah.
And I said, you know where I think it belongs? I think it belongs with us as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a mom and a grandmother know that pregnancies aren't always joyful. Mm-hmm. They're hard. They're complicated. Things come up. And nobody is better suited to make those decisions than you. With the advice of your medical team and your faith leaders and the other people who you trust. And she looked at me and she said, you're right.
I think my favorite conversations, and there's a lot of joy going on in this campaign, in all campaigns. The joy that I find is the unity in stepping forward.
Mm-hmm.
The unity in the person who's never had a sign in their yard, but this year they did.
Yes.
Even if it's just one, it's one sign they've never done before. The unity in volunteers. I was chased down the sidewalk the other night because I had offered, when I introduced Pete Buttigieg, I offered that if they
I love
never,
how she slips that in there. That day that I introduced Pete Buttigieg.
Sure did. Technically, I didn't introduce him, but I was on the stage and standing right behind him, and I riled the crowd for him. Anyway, in my opening, it was all about, you know, help us. It was canvas. Yeah. And if you've never canvassed before, I said, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you. You just jump in my car. And someone chased me down the sidewalk afterwards to say, are you going today? And I said, I am. But it was in Nina. And so she met me on Monday.
Are you?
No
and
kidding.
We went out on the doors.
Nice.
And then yesterday I'm in the middle of doors switching over turfs, and I get a message from somebody from California that said, I watch your videos. Your canvassing videos, and I consider them like meditation. Mm. They keep me calm. They keep me going. And I've used some of your quotes over in Nevada. That is how impactful we can be as candidates, and how we are refilled by the people across the country that are listening and on the same team. And that balance of unity, to me, it really is everything.
It's really cool to see how much Wisconsin matters. I was watching you know, Kamala Harris's rally with like Mumford and Sons and all of this stuff. And it's like, this is such a cool time that we can see how important what we do is. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk more about that here on the other side with Chris Alfheim and Kristen Lyerly. We'll see you back in a little bit.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I've got a couple reminders for you about minimum payments and credit cards. Right, get ready. I'm going to say two different things, both of which I bet sound familiar. Thing number one, never pay less than the minimum payment on your credit card. For some of us, there are months where that might not be possible. And if you're in that camp, I'm so sorry. I want to encourage you to set yourself a goal of never, ever paying less than the minimum. And thing number two is always pay more than the minimum payment. Just paying minimums month in and month out won't get you very far. Your total amount that you owe, the principal, is barely going to budge. Ideally, you're only using your credit card if you can pay off the whole balance every month. When that's not possible, try paying more than the minimum, but never less. For more reminders and money tips, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I think it was last week or the week before, whatever. We had a really brilliant man who George Cabaservis. Cheap plug if you want to go listen to that. It was really a fascinating conversation. But I told him that one of my goals in like professionalism in my life, I always want to be one of the dumbest people in the room, because then you get to learn and then you get to grow. And if you get to be the dumbest person in the room, and that's I think how you become a better person. So I am totally the dumbest person in the room here. sitting with Chris Alpine and Kristen Lyerly. I want to talk a little bit about something that that happened this week. My wife and I, we were picking up a truck from my work. And so she was in a car in front of me. I was in a truck and we were going to take out the trash, you know, like the old, this is not a Trump pun, but we were getting a bike and some stuff from the garage, driving down a road that leads to our house. And there was this elderly woman who had my yard signs in her yard when I ran and all of this stuff. And I saw a Kamala Harris sign and a Tammy Baldwin sign and a Kristen Lyerly sign, and they all had spray paint all over them. And it was not very nice. And they were F words and all of these things. And it was just nasty. And my wife, of course, called me and she was very, very upset. And I said, I know this woman. I don't know her personally, but I know who she is. And she's just a wonderful, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but she's a badass. She's a great, oh, I can say that. Thank you.
Clear. Good job, Conrad.
Thanks, buddy. But she is. She's a wonderful woman and displays a lot of courage for standing her convictions. And I called the contact and said, hey, I need to get her signs. And I went to her house and she said, you know, she's just disappointed. She's like, well, you know, she felt violated. Someone came onto her property and did that. And kudos to Kristen Lyerly here, my dear friend, for going to say hi. Yeah. And when I came back with the yard sign, she was on freaking cloud nine because, oh my goodness, she got to me. And I put that on Facebook and there were people that were saying, you know, well, this stuff happens on both sides.
It doesn't. And there were Trump signs all over the place that were not defaced
and
or stolen.
Like, I have someone who's in the business of law enforcement that I know very well. It is not happening like it is on the other side. It is so disproportionately happening on one side, and it is not on the Republican side.
You know what she told me? She said, I put these signs here because my dad was a World War II veteran.
Yeah.
And because my uncles and cousins have all served, and they've done Old Glory honor flights, and they served with pride. And
what an awesome woman.
Yeah.
Her name's Colleen.
Colleen.
What an awesome, awesome person.
I do this because this is one thing that I can do in their memory.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And she said to me, because I was putting them up and my wonderful daughter and my wife were there and helping, and Gabrielle, she was just so happy to put up the sign for her friend Kamala.
Aww,
and here's one for Kristen.
No,
she's cute. But then, you know, and Colleen said, well, you know, I worry that they'll spray paint him again. And I'm like, well, damn it, we'll put him up again then. We got you. Mm-hmm. And, and so many people came to, you know, check in on her and all of this stuff. But like, how do we get past this? It's a big question.
It is a big question. I think part of it is how the candidates on our team are willing to listen.
They've been phenomenal.
They're willing to.
Oh my God.
You know, again, if the outcome is the, you know, denigration of the signs or whatever, the answer is not to deal with the signs. The answer is to deal with the energy that's causing it.
Right.
Yes.
And I think that this goes back to what you said earlier. People are so tired of the opposite sides. You know, when I go up to a door, it's interesting because my color is purple, right? So the only thing that I have on logo, I have one button that says.
I need one of your yard signs, by the way.
You need one?
I don't have one.
It's in my car.
Do you really?
I got one. I have maybe two.
Okay.
Anyway, so I go up and my little button is purple and it says Elfheim time. And it doesn't give away. It doesn't give anything away. And so there's this nervousness and hesitation to say anything. And sometimes they'll look at me and they're scanning me. They're literally scanning to try and find out what side I'm on. And I said, it's okay. I said, I've been a split ticket voter my whole life. There are no wrong answers. Whether you vote for me or not is debatable, but you need to know that I'm going to listen no matter what. And the stress will come down a little bit. And at some point they'll say, you know, well, what side are you on? And I said, isn't it sad that we have to ask? Because I'm literally just asking you to tell me what's most important or ask me questions, which is what you would want your people to do. And eventually they will come out and talk about it. We have to get back to civil dialogue with respect. I don't care if I'm elected in the Fox Valley. It's Appleton, Needham, Menasha, and Oshkosh. My job is to be the voice of the entire district. Do you think that it's all one-sided? No. And if, as legislators, if we believe in rebalancing, if we believe in redistricting, having fair maps, then we must then represent our district, which means at least listening and acknowledging, because there are pains out there that are being felt. I think a lot of times the anger comes in that they think no one is listening, or everyone on the opposite side must be what's been portrayed in the media, which there's your problem. They assume that we are the deepest, most progressive person on the planet, and we want to undo everything. Oh, no, I'm a capitalist. I work with money and taxes for a living. Let's talk about what your kitchen table is dealing with. Let's talk about costs. Let's talk about childcare and how that's an economic issue.
Everything is an economic issue.
Everything is connected. And if we could just start to acknowledge that neither side is always right, neither side is always wrong, and that there are answers that we can move forward on, that is what people are crying for right now. And we may not be able to shut down the fringe of the 50, let's call it 10%. 10% on either side are the ones that maybe are willing to go, or maybe it's 25% on one side and 10% on the other. But I'm not here to judge.
There are people who are entrenched.
There are people that are entrenched, that those are not the people that we can impact on a regular basis, but the rest of us are embarrassed. We're embarrassed by that behavior on any side, because you're going beyond civil behavior. That's the bottom line.
Hey, I want to emphasize something that you said, and it is that when we are elected, and I'm going to use when, because we are going to be elected, we will be there to serve all of the people, not just the people on our team. And I think that's something really different than what we've seen here in Northeastern Wisconsin in recent times, because we haven't had a choice. You know, with the gerrymandering, there's just been one name on the ballot for so many people. And that's why people have not felt heard or respected or represented. That all changes on Tuesday.
And what's interesting too is, like, this show, you know, I do I have a slant? I mean, maybe I get, you know, probably.
But, let's acknowledge it. We all do.
It's real.
But I've always said that this is about left versus right. Or this is about right versus wrong, not left versus right. I've invited Tony Weed on my show. I've invited your guy, Anthony.
I don't need to see that.
That's fine. No, don't. Well, no, but I've invited both of them multiple times, and went out of my way to say, hey, I will be fair. I'm not going to let you spew lies, but this is an open forum for you to make your case. Both of them, every single time, and there's been more than five times that I've reached out, they've all said no.
My favorite right now is, you know, rational people that are still undecided will research. Google our people. Google me, Google the opponent, and hit video. Because you can find every interview, every conversation that's ever been had. You can look mine up. It is pages and pages of my opinions and how I feel on things to validate who I am as a candidate. There are none from my opponent.
And that
says
volumes.
Something. When you're not willing to say out loud and address the issues, that means you have nothing on that table. That's an issue. Research properly and you will have very clear answers as to who's trying to help.
That's exactly right. We're going to talk about closing arguments here on the next segment. We've got Chris Elfheim and Kristen Lierley. They're awesome, and we'll see you back in a little bit.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump racing to the finish line.
Harris and Trump turn their attention to southern swing states after crisscrossing Wisconsin.
It's great to be in Milwaukee. We love Milwaukee.
ending with dueling rallies in Milwaukee in the crucial industrial battleground state. With this race so tight, both campaigns trying to reach a tiny sliver of undecided voters, going back to more battleground states this weekend. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
A federal jury Friday night delivered the first conviction of a Louisville, Kentucky police officer who was involved in the botched 2020 drug raid that killed Breonna Taylor. The 12-member jury found Brett Hankinson violated Taylor's civil rights by using excessive force. Execution in South Carolina, Richard Moore, put to death Friday night by lethal injection for the 1999 shooting of a convenience store clerk. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers take on Iowa. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, it's Wisconsin against the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight at Kinnick Stadium. Both teams 5-3, kickoff a little after 6:30. NBA, the Bucks are at home against the Cavaliers tonight, trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Damian Lillard says when he was with the Trailblazers, he'd just take over games. How hard is that now?
It's hard because, I mean, my entire career, I've always been somebody who, if I can do one thing, I can take over. You know, I think I've joined a new team and the situation is different. I understand it is different, so I have to try to, you know, find a way to not just go back to what I've always done, because it's probably not always necessary. So I think that's probably the most difficult part, is like when things seem like it's getting out of control or the going is getting tough, you know, I'm able to put my hands on a little bit more. And I think just not being in that role is, you know, it's a little bit more difficult.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Fox Valley weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunshine and a high near 55. Tonight, a few showers, lows around 43. Rain is likely on Sunday. It'll be windy with a high near 57. Showers and breezy Sunday night, a low of 51. More rain for Monday, highs near 66.
Currently 33 degrees.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-Action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a one-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from our Madison studio, where I welcome King of the Hill and Futurama TV writer Mike Rowe and musician Eric Jelland from Mascot Theory joins me in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Every song that Javin knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose.
Let it go for a little bit. That is an ode to Chris Alfheim here.
I love
that song.
Yes, we play it every episode, and that is our tip of the cap to you.
I appreciate that.
So we always remember your roots, and so that's what our ode to you. We've got Chris Alfheim, we've got Kristen Lyerly. This is the last segment. We got him. We're going to talk about closing arguments, and what do we got? I don't know who wants to go first. And
you go.
Just,
you start. We'll see. How many minutes do we have?
We got 15 minutes.
All right.
And so what is this all about? And it's because it's so much. It's about, this is, I think, as Joe Biden said, we are in a battle for the soul of this country.
Mm-hmm. I'll go first. Yesterday I was on Doors. I tried to put up a video on this, but it was windy. I was on Doors yesterday in Oshkosh. And as I'm walking, I see this massive boulder just sitting there. And right next to it, maybe 10 feet away, there was one of those little community libraries, the take mm-hmm. one, give one.
Oh, yeah, libraries. Yeah. Yeah.
And right next to that library was a big sign that said, be kind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And about 15 feet just off of that was a sign that talked about respect science, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. equality, one of those type things.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally moved me. It moved me to cross the street and go over and take a picture and talk about it. In mm-hmm. my opinion, that boulder is democracy. It is not supposed to move.
Mm-hmm.
It is supposed to be there as a checks and balances. It is supposed to be there as a guiding principle that the voices of the people should matter. The boulder should not move.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have this library, and that library is about education and our belief that every child will be better, will be stronger, has the opportunity and the obligation for the community to provide that education to everyone, no matter who, no matter where, no matter why. We believe in educating our people. Then you have the kindness. The kindness and the open and the welcoming is who we are as a society. We are at our core kind people. We are empathetic people. We are willing to listen and help. That's who we were raised to be. So to me, that little bitty corner of a block represented who we are as society. And if democracy is the core of that, then we have to remember that through this election.
Mm-hmm.
The wind was, it was so windy yesterday, but the wind is kind of like the emotion right now. Mm-hmm. It is the emotion of the political party, the media, the big words, the nastiness. That's the wind that is blowing, but it doesn't change the fact that we at our core believe in the rock of democracy, the rule of law, educating our people and being welcome to people. That is who we are. And I truly believe that is the difference in this election.
Mm-hmm.
Those purple shades that have yet to figure out what to do, go back to the base. The base is democracy, kindness, and education. Which side right now is doing that? And which side is challenging that on a daily basis? That's where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So vote for those core principles that allow us to be a great country and move forward. There's nothing that's going to be done in 4 years that is going to completely change things one way or the other.
Right.
You do not have to 100%, you don't even have to 75% agree with what a person stands for. You must understand their philosophical base and are they going by the core principles of who we are as society. That is where the decision comes down to right now.
That's a beautiful story.
It was so cool.
Just as you were telling it, I was thinking, oh, this feels like a bedtime story. I want to just roll over and snuggle up with my pillow right now.
Oh, it's true, though. I wanted to hug that boulder because it grounded me.
Yeah.
And all seeing all that together, and that is, again, we have to stop the nonsense,
mm-hmm.
remove all the rhetoric, and go down to your core basic belief.
Yeah.
That is what's online right now.
That is
what's at stake.
And what's crazy to me, too, is like if you see those signs that say, like, be kind or believe in science or, just whatever. If a sign that says be kind tells you that's what side of the fence they are on.
Right. And it does.
Like, what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that, when you ask about closing arguments, that's all part of this bigger picture. So you see all of these big, grand, spectacular things that are happening on the federal level. I think for me, as a congressional candidate, I'm not planning anything big and splashy because to me, this is all just part of the journey. So we're just continuing to get out and talk to people and hear them and try to reach as many people as we can. That is our big push. As Coach Holmgren, who has recently endorsed our campaign.
No, really?
He calls it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not just Coach Holmgren, but his daughter, who happens to be a high-risk pregnancy doctor, and my colleague.
Oh, my gosh.
So both of them talk about the big push.
Nice.
In different contexts.
Yep.
So, you know, as an OBGYN doctor, we have our own big push. But our big push right now is just talking to as many people as possible and recognizing that November 5th is a day and time. November 6th is when we survey the landscape and say, okay, this is where we're at right now. So the next step for us is this. And regardless of what happens, I am so proud of the work that we've all done in the spaces where we've all been able to do it. The way we've been able to acknowledge people's voices and make sure that they are heard and that we've empowered them to do things, even if it's putting out one yard sign or a be kind sign or having a conversation with a neighbor or dads thinking about what this means for their daughters. I think we've really generated a lot of community building love around here. And I think this is just the beginning of the rebuilding that desperately needs to happen right here in Northeast Wisconsin. The whole world is watching us.
Yeah.
Right. The whole world is watching us. Yeah. We are just beginning.
Yeah. There's so much to be done. And I think that in this election, especially, we have found the balance between the rational in two parties. I think we have to realize that when we talk about childcare, when we talk about healthcare, we are actually talking about fiscal issues. The taxpayer is investing in our community, in our state, everywhere. The question is, do you want to invest in prevention early on by helping kids find success? If you want to reduce people on welfare rolls, well, the answer is to educate. The answer is to help people find success in this world. There is a fiscal connection to every social issue that we're talking about. Realize that. It is not about standing on the edge. It is about understanding from a rational, pragmatic point of view, how are we going to invest in the cause of issues as opposed to continuing to throw money at the result.
Yes.
We can deal with this. We can educate. We have every kid should be fed, they should be housed, they should be healthy, and they should be educated.
Yes.
And everything in society will be better for that. We can and we should agree on that. Put our dollars where it matters, which is at the foundation of ourselves and our communities. The Democratic Party will always be on the side of people before corporations, period. That doesn't mean we don't pay attention to fiscal issues. We can and we will work through that together.
Well, if they're not short-term fiscal issues, we pay attention to investments.
Yeah.
Not just how do you balance the budget at the end of the day, and that's very important, but how do we invest in the things that are going to give us the long-term returns? And I'm talking about long-term human returns. I love your emphasis on childcare. As somebody who's still paying off my student loans from medical school from over a decade ago, because it's all because of childcare. I had four little kids, you know? How ridiculous is that? But I could find childcare. We had to beg, borrow, and steal to get it, but we found it. If you live in Oconto County, you can't get it.
No. Right. I was just at a thing the other night, and I'll say this. As many times as our GOP friends say we want to have more babies, more babies is the answer. Guess why we're not having more babies? It's too expensive to have more babies.
Right.
So perhaps, perhaps if we actually invested in childcare, people could, we talk about saving dollars. They're both top of the tickets are saying if you're at $400,000 or less, you're getting a tax break. Great. Awesome. How about we reduce the cost also? We're talking thousands of dollars on an annual basis that we could be helping families that have dealing with child care issues.
Right.
We can work together, not only deal with the taxes on income, but also deal with the baseline costs that are making it so expensive to be in this world. We have to work together and acknowledge the realities and start moving forward.
Nobody knows it better than future Senator Chris Elfman.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it's been interesting, too, you know, going through my, you know, journey from being a Republican to now being where I am. And I always make the case to people, there is a conservative argument for childcare. There is a conservative argument for raising the minimum wage.
Yes.
There is a conservative argument for legalizing marijuana. There is a legal argument for all of this stuff.
Yep.
And
there's always a purple solution.
Right. Yes.
And when we are imbalanced in government, when it is too much one or too much the other, nothing gets done.
Right.
We must be balanced in government so we force ourselves to find the purple solution to every problem that's out there. Period. Yeah. That's who we are in Wisconsin. That's who we are in a country. Balance the ballot. Balance. In Wisconsin, you have got to be on the side of Team Blue right now to get back in balance with our legislative maps.
Yes.
That will cause forward action in all of these issues. On a national basis, keep voting. Mm-hmm. Supreme Court matters. We do not have balance on the Supreme Court. Most rational people will realize that. How do you fix that? You put in the balancing act, which is to have more blue people.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we have a functional legislature and we can actually get things done?
Right.
Like PFAS relief?
Like what people want us to do?
Yes.
What's so exciting is that the people that in the Assembly and the Senate now have to go back to their districts and be like, okay, now you can vote me out because you're pissed. You know, before they couldn't.
Right?
It was just
that. It's accountability.
Yes.
It's accountability to the people. Mm-hmm. We are elected by the people for the people. Mm-hmm. We must act that way or we will lose our jobs.
Yes.
That's the way democracy works. That is the boulder. Stick to the boulder.
Yeah,
you have to have balanced, proper representation for the boulder to work.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And there's something that you, so if they're going to vote for you, Kristen Lyerly.
Yes. What do they Why did you make that sound so ominous?
Well, it's because they have to know it's not just once.
There are two. My name's on the ballot twice, and it's not even Chicago.
Right.
Yes, you can vote for me twice.
So Kristen Lyerly and Kristen Lyerly and Chris Alfheim.
Yes, because we have a special election for the congressional because Mike Gallagher vacated his seat in the spring.
How long is that term?
It's just the lame duck session, but that's important because there's a lot of movement in the lame duck session, and the farm bill is up.
Yes.
And the farm bill is critical to, even if Eric Hovde doesn't understand it, the farm bill is really, really important for Wisconsin because agriculture is so important, and it's all about food, and it's also about conservation. It's a huge, huge spending bill, and we've got to get it passed.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is important to go down and make sure that all of that is filled out.
All the Kristens.
All the...
and I am on as a Kristen as well. Spelled the correct way, by the way.
With two I's.
With two I's. Mm-hmm. So make sure you get, if you're on the ballot where you have myself in the 18th and you have Kristen in the 8th, which is about a third of my territory for the Senate, make sure you get all the Kristens all day.
Uh-huh.
Just keep on clicking Kristen until you run out of Kristens.
All Kristen all day. Woo, woo.
That's awesome. Yeah, this has been... A really incredible campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's neat to see kind of the beginning stages of healing, even though we're still kind of dealing with some of the craziness from the Trump side. But it's neat to see people kind of starting to shake out of that.
Well, you shook it out of Rob Coles the other day.
Oh my gosh, that was
dying for a place to talk about how he felt, and he did it here with you because you created that safe space for him.
That was an honor to do.
Yeah, and I would put in there too, be careful as, you know, whatever side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not demonize the other side. There is nothing wrong. In fact, we should right now be embracing a traditional conservative. A rational conservative is necessary in our world of checks and balances. The boulder needs both sides to make sure we don't go off the rails.
Kamala Harris understands that.
Absolutely.
I think we're all Republicans, aren't we?
I've been an independent,
I mean, I voted Republican.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So rational people understand that we need to stop demonizing the other side. Mm-hmm. That is not what this is about.
Right.
It's about rational people coming together and working on issues. Vote for rational. Mm-hmm. And rational involves rebalancing.
No right. And I think it's important for people. One of the things that I say too is that if you're a conservative and you look at Donald Trump and you have to say it as part of the mental gymnastics that you do to support that guy, well, I really don't like him. Then stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of both of you. I'm so proud to know you. I'm so proud to call you my friends.
Absolutely.
And this has been the honor of a lifetime to join you guys here today and watch what you've done because this matters so, so much. So thank you, Kristen Lyerly, Kristen Alfheim, my dear friends. And I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Team effort,
keep it up,
baby.
That's
you got
right.
it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back with my thoughts here on the Rational Revolution right after this.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yes, Boston leading into the last segment of the last show before the election. You know, I first and foremost, it's just a what an awesome discussion with Chris Alfheim and Kristen Lierley. I am not a news program, and so I am going to say I wholeheartedly hope that they prevail and they win. I'm so proud to know them. I'm so proud to call them friends, and whatever community they represent would be so well served by their brilliance and their passion, and they would just do a bang up job. And, you know, I usually have notes all over the place about what I'm going to talk about and how this is going to go and all this. I have nothing for today. And I thought, how am I going to make the closing argument on this program? And my thought was, I just will open my big mouth and see what comes out. And I think when it comes to summarizing everything that we have before us on November 5th, it really boils down to some pretty simplistic things, all right? Take out the politics, take out the names, take out the Republican and the Democrat, take everything out. And when you boil all of it down to the lowest common denominator, what you're left with is a very simple choice. And we're going to talk about the choice at the top, and then we're going to talk about kind of bringing it down ticket. The choice at the top, you have between a candidate who tried to overturn and overthrow a free and fair election, and then when it didn't happen, tried filing 62 lawsuits. 61 of them were turned down, and the other one was just on a technicality. So he basically lost every single time. Then when that didn't work, he tried to take an angry mob of thousands and thousands of people to storm the Capitol and inflict as much pain and anguish and chaos as they possibly could, because he couldn't tell the American people the truth that he did lose that election. That's what you have. Oh, and then, by the way, after that, he was convicted of dozens of felonies since he left office. So on one hand, we have a felon that tried to overthrow democracy. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do all of that. Now, again, I might not be the smartest person in the room. Maybe I am, because there's no one else in here. But it occurs to me that maybe we shouldn't give the keys back to that guy. All right. Now put in some of the politics, put in some of the you know, what they believe in. And if you are someone undecided, listen to this. What leadership is being selfless, is being someone who is not
too haughty to say, hey, I don't know everything. Because when you are someone that says, I don't know everything, you put people around you who can help you get through a crisis, a pandemic. And so you have to ask yourself, on one end, do you believe that Donald Trump will surround himself with people who will challenge him, who will educate him, who will move the country in a direction that is common sense, smart, and led by experts? Or do you believe that he will surround himself with people who just will tell him what he wants to hear? I think most of us know the answer to that. And so we turn to Kamala Harris. Do you believe that she will do that? Do you believe that she's an educated person? Well, she got herself through law school. She leads by compassion. And I do believe that she will surround herself with experts, the best and the brightest, who are not afraid to challenge her. And in turn, it will make her leadership that much better. All right. There's the top of the ticket. But it doesn't stop there. And where I look at things is we are so divided as a society. And coming from the Republican side, I saw this coming for a long, long time. And I was worried about this for a long, long time because my concern was, hey, man, once this movement finds its leader, boy, it's going to be dangerous. And they did. And they took that leader and they didn't just make it a political movement. They made it their very identity. And so how do we as people, how do we as voters, how do we as a society, I think we said it while I was talking with the Chris's, how do we go clear douche and rid ourselves of that? Well, you do that by down ticket voting. You do that by voting for Chris Alfheim. You do that by voting for Kristen Lierley. You do that by voting on one side so clearly, because on the Democratic side, that will give our society, our community, our country the path to get past this. And we gotta get past this. Right now, guys, this is not about left versus right. This is about right versus wrong. And if you have to do mental gymnastics, if someone asks you, hey, you know, why do you support Donald Trump? If any time in that discussion you have to say, well, I really don't like the guy very much, stop. There's your sign. If you have to say and whitewash the fact that, well, you know, I don't like the things that he says, then stop. That is how we get past this. That is how we move forward as a country. I have to say a huge thank you to Conrad, Todd, Amanda, everyone at Civic Media for allowing this program to exist and being flexible. That is how we were able to bring you some incredible guests and I hope some wonderful content on my end. But I am so grateful to Civic Media and to everyone involved who has allowed this show to take place during this election season. This is about you. I love you guys. Thank you so much for everything. And we'll see you next week. Get out there and vote.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.